Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're a kingdom people, and a kingdom people is a lifestyle people. See, a kingdom people cannot exist on a Sunday. We're a kingdom people who carry. Kingdom people carry something. They carry the kingdom. The kingdom is within you. So we're a kingdom people who carry the presence of God. We carry the power of God to fulfill his purpose wherever we go. And so that's the statement that we work with as at our local church. And I'm being more and more convinced that this is the lifestyle that God has called me to live, where I'm a kingdom person. I carry the presence of God. Amen. I release the power of God to fulfill what? His purpose wherever. Come on. Wherever I go. So the word gospel has the word go. The word God has the word go. And then he said go. And so if we stay, we forfeit the presence and the power of God. Come on. We want to ask ourselves this question. Why does the church lack power and presence? It's because we're not going. We're not going. We're staying. So God said, we've made it all about us. And Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. And we're not called to be staying people. We're called to be going people. And so as God put those two chairs together, when you step into the kingdom, it's a 24/7 thing. It doesn't become a Sunday thing. Jesus didn't hang on the cross so that you could have a Sunday experience of him. He had it that you can walk every day carrying the presence and the power of God 24/7 wherever you go. So I was a bit undone in worship, and forgive me, I just said to the Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach tonight. Those aren't often in a preacher's life, but there was a weight that came on worship. And it wasn't the worship, it was that the fact that he was in the worship that started to undo me. And I thought, oh my word, I have to stand and represent you. This one that is so glorious, I have to speak about you. Oh God, your glory, your presence. And then I thought, yeah, no, okay, I think I'll survive. Yeah. And so recently, I drive a Fortuna. John, do you need one, huh? I'm told that you're the only one who doesn't have one. Am I? Word gets out, bro. I am fortunate. Anyway, I was in your area not so long ago, visiting some friends that lead a church, and this light popped on in my Fortuna, and I was like, no, that can't be the petrol light. I know nothing about cars, huh? I just know brake and petrol. More familiar with the one that does a lot of speed. And so this light came on, so I pulled out, go to the garage, and they say, no, it's your oil filter. It's got dirt on it. So, okay, I need to sort out. And you know what a filter's there for? What's it there for? Catches all the muck. Amen? And so I'm going to work with some analogies that we've spoken about over this time here, and hopefully marry it all nicely together. And then we can trust that God is going to do something. Amen? And so I want to give you the liberty that while I'm preaching, if the presence of God comes on you, you're allowed to receive. Okay, we're at a mindset that you cannot receive from God. When God starts giving a revelation and it starts changing your life, that you have to wait till after the meeting for someone to come and pray for you. Well, the Holy Spirit's present in this moment, and if you respond in faith, God will move on you as you are. You can experience the fire of God. You can experience the healing of God. You can experience the anointing of God while I preach. I give you permission to encounter God while I preach. I'm not pointing to myself. I'm pointing to the one who's in the room. You know that song, when he walks into the room? Everyone gets all, oh, when he walks into the room. Well, sometimes when he walks into the room, I cannot get under the carpet enough because the weight of the glory of God is so overwhelming, friends. It was something of what was happening for me in worship. It was like, okay, God, that's enough. Because if you come any more, I think I'm going to pop. And so there's two things that we've come for you guys to understand over this weekend. It's one is God's presence is in me for my sake. But his presence is on me for your sake. You can understand that. Can we work together with that one? Amen. And so when it comes to his presence is on me for your sake, I believe that involves a culture of risk. Can you just live with that? Okay. Because what God's calling you into is not in your comfort zone. And so you have to live with a culture of risk. And then the second one is, when God is in me for my sake. And so the message that I'm wanting to bring is a message that points to he's on me for your sake, but the message is he's in me for my sake. And so a filter is used to what? Catch dirt. All right. So we're talking a little bit about this thing called the filter. And I want to talk about a subject that if I had to ask you in this room, how many of you have heard this subject being preached on? I'm going to give you a response. And before you respond, I give you permission to put your seatbelt on. I do. We're about to take off, yes. I'm convinced that in my day, I will see the fear of God being restored back to the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe a lot of what goes on, even in the presence of God, is sometimes irreverent. And I will marry this together, friends. I will. Because I don't believe you can talk about the fear of God and separate it from the love of God. But I do believe that many of us experience the love of God and overemphasize the love of God at the expense of the fear of God. So while I was down in worship, that passage of scripture came when David had asked for the presence of the Lord to come back. And we know what happens. What does it do? It does a bit of a slip on the cart. Remember that? What's that guy's name? Uzzah. What did he do? He stretched out his hand, and what happened? He got taken out. Should we use a more common language? He got what? Got killed. How's that? So in worship, struck down. There we go. Okay. And now, in worship, I'm just thinking, Lord, how's that happen? And then Jesus says, but now, what? Now. Because of my death, he said, I won't strike you down, but you can touch my presence. I'm like, oh God, we can touch your presence. I mean, there's a man that was struck dead and here I get to carry the presence of God wherever I go. And for me, that is overwhelming. A filter is for me is an in me thing, not an on me thing. And so when you walk with God, it's an intimacy. In to me, he sees. Amen. It's an intimacy. That's the in me, the primary relationship. And then the one that flows from me is the second relationship, is those that God has called me to reach with the gospel of the kingdom. So I write it like this. I encounter God in me, revelation and experience. Once you've had a revelation and an experience, it becomes rooted and established in you, which results in transformation, which means you then become the encounter. And when he's on me, I then allow others to have an encounter. But you cannot let others have an encounter if you haven't had an encounter. But when you have an encounter, the encounter must result in transformation. An encounter is not so that you can have a good experience. As much as we have good experiences, and I'm all for that. I want to suggest this evening, I don't know if you preach at night, I want to suggest tonight that if I were to ask you about Judas and how many healings that Judas see, how many miracles that Judas see, how is it possible that Judas camped out with Jesus for 3.5 years? He saw the evidence. He was touched by God, but he was not transformed. He wasn't touched just by the power of God. You must be touched by the person of God. And when you're touched by a presence of God, you are resulting in transformation. And the Bible says, who with unveiled faces are being transformed from one degree of glory to ever-increasing glory. By what? By beholding. You can only be transformed by what you behold. And if we behold him, we get transformed from one degree of glory to ever-increasing glory by the Holy Spirit. Who have you been given, friends? And so the transformation that happens is on the inside. Every significant scripture that I know in the Bible talks about the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not all your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. Come on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. It is with your heart that you believe. It's with your mouth that you confess. It's a heart thing. Transformation is an inward heart transformation when the Holy Spirit comes in and he brings revelation of Jesus that doesn't allow you to stay the same. You are transformed. That's what God wants. And so I think this weekend has been a weekend that has been like a doctor's injection, a faith injection in me for a time of harvest on me. That God hasn't come, when he comes, without faith it's impossible to please God. So when God comes and he breaks in, the result is faith. Come on. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. So when Jesus breaks in, faith is established, but faith must have a currency where it can flow. So belief is something on the inside. Faith is something on the outside. You can believe something, but until you take a step of faith, that's why faith and risk are so closely connected. But it has to happen first on the inside before it can happen on the outside. But in church, there's a lot of stuff you can do on the outside that is not a reflection of what you like on the inside. And that's how we can get away with not having the fear of God in our meetings. You see, Ananias and Sapphira had this opportunity where they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they were struck down dead. Acts chapter 5, if you want to see that it is in the Bible. See, I'm concerned for me that we are so flippant and so irreverent with the presence of God. That we would actually play and keep sin while the manifested presence is in our meetings, and we have no desire to repent, no desire to lay our lives down in awe of what he's done on the cross. We walk out here being in the presence of God, and some of us have been touched, but we've not been transformed. I say transformation comes. The Bible says this, that we've been predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, Jesus. And we know that it's an unworking glory that comes. So where did it start for me? Just tell me when to stop. I'm not a good watch kind of guy. I just go, and then when they tell me to stop, I know how to do that plane thing. We gotta land. Have that like little knee jerk. I've been in meetings, friends. When I was in my 20s, and I remember the one meeting, Ray Oliver, who used to leave. Ray Oliver used to leave our church at the time, and that I was in. He went to Pensacola. I don't know if you ever heard of that revival. And he came back, and there was a meeting like this, and he had this video clip that he was going to show us. It was called The Mercy Seat. He says, I'm running.
I'm running to your mercy seat. And they played that. That power of God hit us so bad. We were thrown all over the places. I was underneath the chair. I was shaking. I was like, I am scared, God. Why? Because your glory came in and I was terrified. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't scared like, oh, I'll never do that again. But my spirit was in awe of the presence that walked in that room that day. And I knew God is big. He is so, so, so big. I just knew, man, I'm in trouble. I remember looking at the carpet and thinking, yes, do I have enough courage to lift the carpet, stick my head underneath there, because I cannot handle the gaze of the glory of God in this meeting. It is overwhelming. Yet Uzzah gets zapped, and I get it for free. I tell you, the gift of His presence is free, but to keep it will cost you. And we don't like the cost. The cost, what's the cost? It costs you everything. You see, God knows that if He allows you to get away with some of you, He'll steal the glory that He'll put on you. So anyway, Isaiah 66 verse 2. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. When the word gets preached from the pulpit, do you suddenly get on your knees and start repenting? Hello? I know that my calling does not lend me to make lots of friends. You could have said amen to that as well. I would have been fine with that. Every revival that they say has happened around the world, as far back as we have knowledge of revivals, has always been preceded by a move of deep repentance over sin, so that when God finally pours out His glory in revival, we can be pure vessels that will carry the presence of God with purity and with conviction. Now, I think we chase and pursue the presence of God so quickly without allowing the Word of God to transform us. Amen? And so where did it start for me? I've been in one or two meetings, and I'll tell you a story. It happened in Linden, of all places. It's in this area around here. And I've been preached at an Afrikaans church, Jania, like Verstaan. Die Here hou van die Afrikaans mense. Yeah. Hulle sê Jania, en ons weet nie wat dit beteken nie. And the whole weekend they'd come in and asked me to just talk a little bit about the presence of God, and I started to speak on the presence of God, and on the Friday and on the Saturday, and we saw glimpses of God move by His Spirit. But I'd read a book, and in this book, a guy had been to heaven, he spoke about the mantle of humility. And in heaven, it's like the most dirtiest thing you can picture, because it's so that's the best word I can say. It's not worn that often. It's like the thing that is most unattractive in His describing of humility. And I said to the Lord, I want to try and just walk in humility before You. And the entire weekend, I could not. I just said, I can't put this thing on me. Because you know, when you walk in humility, there's no place for you. And I was like, I don't know if I'm really to really die that kind of way. I don't know if I really want to be that humble. Seriously. And so one of the ladies came and she says, the Lord says, no, you can do it. I'm on my face. And I get up and I say, okay, Lord, I'll try this thing. And I'll wear this thing of humility. And so the Lord had told me, no, I can call down the fire of God, which I've done before and nothing's ever happened. Brad, you ever been there? I just said, the fire of God. And you're like, the oak that's most radical. Just, okay, at least someone got something, you know. And so God says, no, just speak it. So I just said, okay, Father, I pray for the fire of God to come. And I pray, and three oaks just fly out of their chairs. I'm like, three is better than, like, naught. Eh? So I clearly hear the Holy Spirit say, shout fire. So I'm like, fire! A tempered ball just came from the back. There's no one standing, except the pastor and myself. And then I had a new revelation of the fear of God, because I was worried that some people would not get up and that they would stay down and that they would say, I killed them in the meeting. But I knew then that the presence of God is really powerful. But that if you want to carry the presence of God like He wants us to, we cannot afford, friends, not to walk in humility. Now, God opposes the pride, but He gives grace to the humble. And so one of the ways that God has revealed to me the fear of God, and so I want to describe it, because what I wanted to do is more or less tell you my story and then allow it to kind of spill over onto your life and say, well, God, I want something of that. Is that all right? Instead of preaching at you, I'm good at that as well, but it's not my church, so I'll just be nice to you. All right. And I remember this, friends, the revelation. People always talk about the cross. I tell you, the revelation of Christ on the cross deeply, deeply impacted my life. The knowledge, the revelation of this God that I serve, to know He physically hung on that cross. It's not in my Bible. It's in here. It's a heart reality to know the expense, friends, the expense of what it cost the Holy Spirit and what it cost the Father to see Jesus on the cross. There is no amount of money to explain what it meant for Jesus to be put on a cross. And when you get a glimpse from heaven's perspective of the weight of seeing the Son of God on the cross, and I'm going, God, You're so radical with Your grace. You're so radical. I'm fearful of You because You're so overwhelming with Your love. What love goes to that length? What love? And then we water the love of God down. And I look at the cross and I'm overwhelmed. I said, God, who on earth will pay such a high price for me? And then the fear of God starts creeping into my heart because I see the weight. I see what happened at Calvary for me, and I don't lose sight of the cross, because everything was established when Jesus said, it is finished. God showed me. And one day I was in Zimbabwe, and I was with Guy, and had a prayer meeting. I remember getting on my knees and I was praying. I saw Jesus on the cross. I saw the blood just running down Him. And in the blood drops, I saw my name. I was like, Jesus, Your blood paid for me. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much for me. I can't handle it. He said, because I love You. Because I love You. A revelation came into my heart, and I just know, God, I got to walk fearfully and humbly before You. Why does the scripture say this, friends? Why does the scripture say this? Walk out your salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to work according to His pleasure. Do you know what it costs God so that the Spirit can be in you? Do you know, friends? Do you know in your heart the cost of heaven sending the Son for you and for me? And that when we get the Son, we get the promise from the Father of the Holy Spirit. Not only do we get the Holy Spirit, we get to have Him in us and on us. And wherever we go, we manifest the glory of God. All because of that price. That price. As that price keeps the fear of God in check in my life. I love the presence of God. True revelation, friends. True revelation of the cross leads to a transformed life. I'm telling you, true revelation of the cross leads to a transformed life. When you know what happened on that day, your life changes. You will never, ever live a life like you used to. And sin suddenly loses its power over me, because I have a greater love in me that constrains me. The love of God constrains me not to follow the passions of my flesh and the desires. I want to say that there can be in the church an overemphasis of the love of God. I preach. Dizzy knows me. Everywhere I go, I preach on the love of God. And I've seen the love of God break in meetings. I've seen people weep, cry, delivered of all sorts, because there is so much power in God's love. It's overwhelming. But I've known that when we focus so much on the love of God and we don't understand the power of God, the presence of God, somehow we can water down and live a life that doesn't reflect Jesus. Now, when you start letting the word, those who love the Lord, and the scripture says, Isaiah 6, who tremble at his word, when God's word starts coming into your heart, guess what? There's channels that suddenly disappear on the TV that you'd never look at. There's suddenly stuff on your iPad that you suddenly get rid of. You suddenly go to people and say, I want you to speak into my life because what I've got, I don't want to lose. But I know that if I don't have you in my life, I will go down that road. So I need you to help me guard the deposit that's been entrusted by me, by the laying in of elders. I can't just lose the deposit. Carry the presence of God and forfeit it for a quick fling. And I believe in the redemptive love of God. But friends, why must the gospel be watered down like that? If people look at our lives, we water down the gospel. Because our lives are compromised. There's no fear of God in our walk with Him. I know God loves me, therefore it's okay to sleep with my friend. God forbid when I look at the cross that Jesus died so that I wouldn't have to do those kind of things. I'd be set free from sin. But we carry it into His presence and we worship this beautiful King with sin-stained hands. We say, oh, we love you, Jesus. And you think He just looks by when He knows that He paid such a high price so that you and I be free from sin. That we live in grace. I love grace. It's empowering so that I can live the life that Jesus did. The Spirit only remained on Jesus because He never sinned. That's why He carried the presence 24/7. And the presence did lift, my friend. It did lift. When the judgment of the world was upon Jesus, His Father turned. I can't imagine, friends, what it's like to be part of the Trinity before creation. I can't. I'm not that clever. I can't even imagine what eternity in heaven would have been like when Jesus was absent for 33 and a half years. And to see that Jesus being put in human form, it just blows me away. And that He would allow His creation to destroy Him. And that they would even allow Him to face a death, a horrendous death. No greater love. No greater love than a man would lay down his life. Friends, we need to be laid down lovers for His presence and for His power so that people come in. I love what Dudley used to say. It's not so much what you saved out of that matters. It's what you saved into that really counts. God is most glorified when I am most satisfied in Him. John Piper. God is most glorified when you and I are most satisfied in Him. But friends, we have things that satisfy us. Things that cause us to put our trust in something else other than Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, I struggle sometimes. I go into His presence. I say, oh, Lord, this thing, you got to take it away from me because I'm relying on it too much. Let's be open. Just be honest. I want more of Him. So you want more of me? Okay, take that and that. Take it out. You see, anything that I hold on to will always take away from His presence in my life. And that's the challenge for me. I love A.W. Tozer. He says this, most important thing about you is what you think about God when you think about Him. I'll go slowly. Some of you are like, what? My wife sometimes says, you go a little bit too fast for the people. It's like, that's why you get the recording. You can slow it down. A.W. Tozer says, the most important thing about you is what you think about God when you think about Him. I want to tell you that the highest priority for you and me is to have the Word living inside of us. Because you know how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Every time I stay away from the Word of God, by the way, sometimes I miss my quiet time. You know? Or am I just in the perfect church here? I've learned, just be honest. People love it when you're honest, you know. And my wife will just say to me, you're starting to manifest again, which you need to go spend time with God, because every time you come, what I mean manifest is like that self-centered flesh that wants to please itself, reveals its ugly head, and suddenly now my wife looks and like, what happened to the guy that just is so willing to repent and just gentle and kind? And I just said, I've missed time in the Word. And when the Word is in me, it's living, it's active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And my filter is clean, because the Word keeps going through my filter. The filter. And sometimes some of us, our filters are blocked because the oil's got in there and it can't operate. What happens? We go down roads that we're not ought to go. Now I want to talk about that. How am I doing, Brad? All right. Moses. So we're talking about Moses does this, the burning bush. Take off your place you're standing on is holy ground. How's this? Something, amen. You guys know about this, taking off your shoes. So you cross over into the Jordan, and you get into the promised land. And when Joshua is standing there, and he sees the commander of the army of the Lord. He says, are you for us or against us? He says, oh, you don't know who I am. This is who I am. And by the way, take off your shoes. The place you are standing on is holy ground. That place of take off your shoes. Think of, I surrender, Lord. I submit, Lord. It's you. The scripture talks about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Often we grieve the Holy Spirit by the things we say and the things we do. And so I'll just use an example or two just to make you feel okay at home. Sometimes my wife and I have a fight. Yeah, just sorry, I probably won't. But I don't get a coffee afterwards, I know exactly why. I make a statement. Every believer is aware of God's presence. Not every person is conscious of it. Because when you're conscious of something, it causes you to live in an awareness of that. And so I'm conscious of God's presence. And then I'll go and I'll have my little tantrum. It's men do that, eh? They have tantrums. You know, you're asking me to do all these things, like kids, whatever. And then I look again and I can't feel the presence of God anymore. And he said, the minute you move to self, I lifted. And I was like, shucks, the only way I'm going to get back is I'm going to have to repent. Is that a wrong word, yeah? Okay. Anyway, the yokes are distracting. I'll talk to you nice people over here. And I've become aware that in that moment, the thing that my wife was getting was me. She wasn't getting what was on me. And I just realized, hey, Lord, the more God is on me, the more happier my wife is. The more happier my kids are. The more happier my church is. just being real. But I've learned this, that the Holy Spirit is the most sensitive person I know on planet Earth. Most sensitive. He has grieved. And even now, as I'm talking, some of you know, you can't hold. How can you ask the Holy Spirit to be on you and in you if you live with unforgiveness? How can you look at the cross and know what Jesus did and hold someone in bondage and then walk with it everywhere and say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus? And I'm like, is that, yeah. All right, I'll try something else. And so, friends, I want to say that the Holy Spirit is there to convict us of sin. But if you don't know who He is, you won't listen to His voice. And the primary way that He speaks, the Spirit speaks, is through the Word that He wrote called the Bible. So when you read the Bible, I suddenly come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and He does this. He causes me to repent. Repentance is a key word for intimacy. Every time I say sorry to my wife, we get to make up. We go back to intimacy. Amen? Now, we've made repentance all about you've done wrong, you need to repent. Every time God comes, he says, I miss you. He brings conviction, and suddenly my face was turned. Repentance about turning around and putting my eyes back on Jesus. That's what this word does. When I read this word, the only thing that happens is I just turn my face to Jesus and I fall in love with him all over again. I say, oh Jesus, I love you. But guess what? I've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. And so there's many scriptures. I want to just throw a few out, and then maybe we can have a chance to respond if that's all right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Fools despise. How's that? Listen to this. I think it was already written, but if you seek it like silver and you search it for as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So when it comes to the fear, there's the beginning of wisdom, and then there's the understanding of the fear of the Lord. And right throughout there, you just go read Psalms, just go Google, type in there, fear of God, and just Psalms. And you will see that David, who loved the presence of the Lord, who was a man after God's own heart, spoke so much about the benefit of walking in the fear of God. Another scripture. Love this one. Trust in the Lord with all your, and lean not on your own. In all your ways acknowledge him. All right, keep going. You guys started well there. Yes. And then you get down there, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not, listen to this, and this is what I understand is, do not be wise in your own eyes. Every time I look to the wisdom of this world, I take my eyes off the wisdom that comes by the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the counselor. And I look for the world for answers. He says, I've got all the answers here. And look what it says there. It says there, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And there's so many scriptures over and over. I want to say, just for time's sake, go look at the scriptures regarding the fear of God and the love of God. They go hand in hand. Out of the love of God, I've come to learn about the fear of God. People have learned about the fear of God and live in condemnation. I've come to know the love of God so that I can experience the fear of God, that I can live in freedom. I told my new friend Hilton, the fear of God is redemptive for me. It's not condemnation. You see, what the love of God did, it opened me up to all of who God is. And when I look at the lens of the love of God and I get to see all of God, I go, oh God, I'm in awe of you. And I bring my life into alignment and I say, oh God, I cherish what you've given me. Oh God, I can't afford to take my eyes off you, Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes and says, that fight you had. And I go, yeah, I knew you'd raise that one. I didn't think I was going to get away. And he says, first go and make right with your friend before you bring it to the altar. And when you come back, I'm reconnected again. It's the fear of God. There's many more scriptures I could share around the fear of God, but I wanted to just open it up for you a little bit and see if there's anything else that profound that I wanted to say. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. His delight is not in the strength of horses, nor in the pleasure in the legs of man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love. Some people say, they love God, and I look at their lives and I go, there's no fear there. Because if you love God, you'll understand the things that God has called us to be separated from. Yet we'll take the presence of God there and we'll mix it. And then the world is confused. Because that doesn't look like the kingdom of God that Jesus called us to establish wherever we go. Yikes, are so distracting. I love this. I don't get it at home, so I mean, I wanted to make just four quick, very quick statements if I get a chance here. The fear of God is closely connected to his holiness. The fear of God is closely connected to revival. The fear of God is closely connected to white hot worship. Those are things I wanted to unpack. How even friends on a Sunday, the Diz knows, the other day, the worship team was up there and they sounded fraught. He knows. Why? When something's fraught, you're like, oh, don't say it in church. But outside, no, that's fraught. Hey, son, that's not a good job. In church, you can't tell the worship leaders, hey, guys, that was not on. Huh? I'm scared to offend. So I just told them, bro, I think the worship's, I didn't say fraught. I just said it's not, it hasn't got a faith element to it. We're not breaking through because God can only move with his faith. So I said, I'm going to get up and preach. So I preached faith into the room. What did I do? I just brought Jesus in the middle and said, look at him. Faith comes. So we say, now let's get up and let's worship. God can move because I put our attention back on Jesus. You see, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, he is the author, the perfecter, the starter, the finisher of your faith. You see, but when we take our eyes off Jesus, friends, we move from faith and we live in fear. Perfect love drives out all fear. Galatians 5:6b says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love.